Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Little Sasha is the heart-pounding sequel to Alfred Anderson's Sasha, My Guardian Sasquatch, weaving suspense, action, and heartwarming family bonds into a captivating tapestry. Sheriff Sean Anderson returns, determined to protect his family and his way of life. When a sinister plot threatens to engulf the nation, Sean finds himself amidst a growing resistance movement, forming a militia to combat the encroaching forces. But this isn't just a fight for justice. Sean's daughter, Sasha, the namesake of a legendary Sasquatch who saved him years ago, becomes a target. Dive deeper into the myth of Sasquatch, witness the birth of a resistance, and experience the unwavering spirit of a community fighting for its future. Alfred is from Minnesota. Before successfully working as a deputy sheriff, he pursued a Bachelor of Arts in Liberal Arts in England, also an AAS in law enforcement. In the 70s to 90s, he successfully started and sold four profitable businesses. However, his career path took a new turn at age 40 when he became employed in law enforcement as a deputy sheriff. After serving for almost 6 years, he retired, drawing upon his experience as a deputy. Alfred pursued his desire to assist readers in comprehending their constitutional rights. Throughout the writing process, the former deputy found his passion for sharing his collected knowledge with his readers. Alfred and his wife, Helena, now divide their time between Washington and Costa Rica, savoring their retired life. And Alfred Anderson, author of Little Sasha, Sasha's Sasquatch's namesake, joins us on This Week in America. Alfred, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Well, again, it's a great pleasure to be with you. I always enjoy participating in podcasts with good podcasters.
Well, thank you, Rick. It's nice to have an excellent guest like you in a topic that's so important and told in a very entertaining way in the story Little Sasha, Sasha's Sasquatch's namesake. Let's talk about the theme behind the book, because you rely on human events to get your message across. Tell me about the theme of Little Sasha.
Well, the theme kind of follows on the first book, Sasha, My Guardian Sasquatch, where the sheriff, 5 years later, is now realizing he has to form a deputized militia against enemies, foreign and domestic. Foreign from the standpoint of illegals of soldier age coming in through the southern border, given telephones and cell phones and pre-charged debit cards, and dispersed throughout the nation where they can access pre-cached weapons. On a domestic level, against the three-letter agencies, principally in this case the FBI. Now, I might add that the reason for a militia, and I'm going to kind of talk about the Second Amendment, because a well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Why did the founding fathers put the well-regulated militia first? Well, it's because they were living under tyranny and had lived under tyranny, and the purpose of the Second Amendment is not about self-defense. It's not about hunting. It's about keeping the power in the hands of the people against a tyrannical government. Now, a militia is of the people. A formed army is of the government. And in our country, the government, through the army, cannot exercise law enforcement duties within our borders. It's called posse comitatus. So the whole idea is he's fighting against entities that threaten our country. And this is really going on now. I mean, we see it in the news all the time. So the sheriff is the principal power in his county. He is the only elected law enforcement officer in the country. And that was borne out that his supremacy is at the height in his county against all other agencies, federal, state, city. And that was borne out by Sheriff Dave Mathis in Wyoming in 1997. He brought a lawsuit against the ATF and the IRS, who were running roughshod over his citizens without warrants, and he won. And the federal court in Wyoming decided that the sheriff is supreme. No one can usurp his authority. So the sheriffs are the ones that have the right to enforce or not enforce laws within their counties. So I bring that theme into the book. And of course, the book itself incorporates a good love story. And of course, Sasha comes into play even more so in this book.
The book is Little Sasha, Sasquatch's Namesake by Alfred Anderson. You'll find the book available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. Link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You can get information and be able to order the book there as well. Talk about the Sasquatch phenomenon and your decision to bring Sasquatch into your stories. What went into that?
Well, really, like I tell people, after I wrote my first book, Deputy Know Your Rights, which is a nonfiction book, someone asked me, he says, do you have any more books in you? And I said, no. It took me 5 years to write the first book. I didn't think I had any more in me. And literally, Rick, it was like an epiphany. It just came to me. It just was there, the whole story. And why Sasquatch? Well, it's an intriguing subject that is not brought out into books at all. So I figured that that might be a catch for people to want to read, because most of the time Sasquatches are presented in a kind of a nefarious, evil way.
Yes.
But in reality, there are no real recorded instances where a Sasquatch has hurt or killed a human being. So I thought, why not bring in a character that is more benign, I might say. And in the first book, the sheriff encounters her trapped up in a mountain by a logging chain, and he actually releases her, and a bond is created. And Sasha comes back in the first book to save his life. Well, in this book, I create more of a humanized version of her, where she meets principal character several times throughout the book. And she does play an important role at the end, saving Sean's daughter, little Sasha.
When you read the reviews, everybody says, boy, the conclusion is amazing. Talk about that and the buildup. First of all, I want to just talk a second about your writing process. Do you know where you're going with the story? Do you have an outline ahead of time? Or as things develop, probably in your mind as you're telling the story, do you just sort of let them flow where the characters take the story?
I think the basic outline is there. And a lot of times, like in the first book, I wrote the first three chapters and the last two chapters and filled in the rest.
Yes.
And I similarly did it with this one because the idea is so powerful in my mind. It only really took a month and a half to write it. But when I start to write, it's so dominating my thinking that I got to get it out. I've got to write about it. Oh, I'll lose it. And as you write, you tend to develop further thoughts and ideas. Like, for instance, in this book, I use a lot of metaphors. And I think metaphors are important to kind of illuminate the situation that we're talking about. Like, you might say in one part, news of this marriage I was speaking of travels through the government system like a fire on a windy day. Well, those are metaphors that kind of colorize
yes.
what you're trying to say. And I use those a lot, more so than I did in the first book. And that's a process of writing that comes along as you do it. And it's just, you know, and in each of the books, the first chapter is the grabber chapter, because I try to write it in a manner that, you know, grabs that reader. I don't yes. want to lose them in that first chapter. And I have to say, one of my famous authors that I really love to read is Zane Grey, but sometimes he gets a little bit wordy. I didn't want to be wordy.
Well, you're not. You grab our attention right away. You keep it throughout. And the conclusion for this book is extraordinary, according to the reviews. And as you read the book, you'll find out for yourself. Little Sasha, Sasquatch's Namesake by Alfred Anderson, our guest. Book available wherever books are sold. In talking about Sasquatch, many people think it's just a myth. That doesn't really exist. What are your thoughts? And involved in law enforcement, maybe you've got some experiences that will give us a clue one way or the other.
Well, they're a big thing in our part of the world, in the Northwest especially, yes. but I have no doubt they exist, no doubt, any more than I doubt UFOs. the anecdotal stories and the evidence is so overwhelming. How can you not? But the thing is, there's an element about them that is so secretive, mysterious that, you know, most people, when they do see them, they don't have the time to take a camera and take a photo. The famous video, the Patterson-Gimlin film in 67 of the famous Sasquatch walking along the riverbed has been proven to be totally authentic. So no doubt in my mind. In fact, here in our local area, I have two secondhand stories just not too far from where I live where they actually have encountered or seen them.
That's amazing. So you go into this with an open mind. If somebody comes to you as a deputy and tells you that they've seen a Sasquatch, you have a tendency to believe them, give them some initial credibility at least.
Well, I will listen.
Yes.
But like a true law enforcement officer, and I was in investigations to a degree, I want to see the proof. I want to see, you know, I just don't want to hear excited emotion saying, oh, I saw a Sasquatch walking in the woods. Well, okay, where was it? What did it look like? Give me a description. Do you have any other evidence of this fact? So, you know, you want information, obviously. But I think there's enough of it out there. Like, for instance, we have a Sasquatch festival up in the northeast portion of the Pend-Pondre County where the book takes place. And I was part of that festival for 2 days selling the books. And right next to me was a fellow by the name of Jesus Payan Jr., who's an actor. And he's famous because he played the part Gonzo in Breaking Bad. But he studies in his off time in New Mexico and investigates many Sasquatch sightings and so on and so forth. Another fellow who's out of Fork, Washington, who's Native American, he has actually literally talked to them on Vancouver Island. I mean, these are secondary stories that, you know, can you not believe these people? I mean,
yes.
They've studied them for years. So no doubt in my mind.
The book is Little Sasha, Sasha Sasquatch's Namesake by Alfred Anderson. This is a follow-up to his initial book, Alfred Anderson's Sasha, My Guardian Sasquatch. Both books available, of course, wherever books are sold. And going through the book, it's interesting the number of themes that you talk about and the parallel with what's going on currently. The sheriff comes across a point where he sort of stops and contemplates, I thought I knew the world. This is not a world that I knew. How real is that feeling, do you think, in law enforcement, even in citizens, you and I, where sometimes you stop, you see what's going on around us, and you think, maybe I don't quite understand who we are anymore?
Well, I think it's because the tremendous amount of corruption in the controlling governmental agencies. On the federal level, the DOJ, the FBI, all the three-letter agencies are corrupt at the top. The FBI is just, it's sad to see it. The Randy Weaver case in Idaho years ago was a perfect example of overkill, overuse of power. And that's where a lot of the sheriffs, like for instance in Washington, if Washington State continues to push gun control, the sheriffs have the right to say, well, we're not going to enforce those laws because we know they're unconstitutional. And of course, the Supreme Court is knocking down so many of these laws that are coming up, whether it be out of New York, California, wherever. And yet they continue to push and make laws that are clearly unconstitutional. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, infringer from the French means don't touch. And yet they constantly try to do stuff. And this is where many law enforcement officers are getting disillusioned because they have controlling agencies that don't let them do their jobs.
You know, it's interesting, your background. Talk about law enforcement and that perspective that you bring to your writing, because there's an element of truth. There's an element of skepticism as all law enforcement officers go through. What is the role of law enforcement in terms of that background on your writing?
Oh, it's preeminent as far as how I present the stories, because it was an eye-opener for me. Knowing and understanding constitutional rights, the first 10 amendments, especially the fourth, the fifth, and the second, and the first. I didn't know them. In our school districts and our educational system is abysmal in teaching some of the most important social or legislative laws that everyone should know about. And it's so important. For instance, if I make a stop as an officer, and I ask you, do you know how fast you've been going? Or have you had anything to drink tonight? What should be your answer? Your answer should be, officer, I choose not to answer your questions. In other words, shut up. Because 99% of the time, the people incriminate themselves, which, according to the Fifth Amendment, they don't have to do. If an officer stops you on the street, wants your ID for no reason, you'd say, I'm not giving you my ID. You have no reason or probable cause to stop me in the first place. So probable cause is preeminent in the Fourth Amendment for any action by a law enforcement officer. And this is something I learned, that so powerful. Our people are so uneducated. It's tragic how much I could take advantage of them as an officer, stopping them, getting them to answer questions. And all they ever had to do was say, officer, I choose not to answer those questions. Okay, that's your right. Now, a lot of officers won't do that. It's gotten out of control. A lot of officers we're seeing are abusing their power, and that's not right.
Alfred Anderson is our guest on the program, talking about his new book, Little Sasha, Sasha Sasquatch's namesake. His first book, Deputy, Know Your Rights, A Cop's True Story. Stories. You do an excellent job in that book of laying out there what our rights are. Are you going to do a follow-up on that? It said it took 5 years to write that first one. Are you going to do a follow-up on that? Because that is so important, that information all of us need to know. I guess we think we know it because we had a couple of sort of government classes when we went through school, but we really don't understand it. Will you be doing any more writing along that line?
I don't think so, not on a nonfiction basis, because I really believe everybody should read that book. If yes. I could give everybody in America that book to read, I would do it, because it's so important. I talk about the Founding Fathers and why they did certain things through the Federalist Papers. I talk about anecdotal stories that highlight how one should behave when they're encountered by or stopped by an LEO or law enforcement officer. I pretty much have said it all in that respect. So if I do another book, it would be continuing the themes or the ideas of, like I do in Little Sasha, and I bring out a lot of points in that. For instance, let me just bring out in Little Sasha, he talks to the militia and he says, and I'll give you two quotes. A free people ought not only to be armed and disciplined, but they should have sufficient arms and ammunition to maintain a status of independence from any who might attempt to abuse them, which would include their own government. Words of George Washington. Second one, the Constitution of most of our states and of the United States assert that all power is inherent in the people, that they may exercise it by themselves, that it is their right and duty to be at all times armed. Words of Thomas Jefferson in a letter to John Cartwright from June 5th of 1824. And I have numerous of those quotes in the first book. But I use these quotes in this to kind of bring people along with that first book and explain why a militia is totally legal, is totally righteous, and it is the right of the people, not of the government, to form militias. In this case, the sheriff does it and deputizes it, which makes it a more forceful a militia.
Yes. And it's told in a way that will hold your attention. It's a very entertaining read, both the initial book and the sequel, Little Sasha, that we're talking about. It's told with suspense, with romance, with action, heartwarming family bonds. It's all there, a story well told. What are you working on now? You have a great way of, and I guess you, Deputy, Know Your Rights, a Cop's True Stories, that has it all laid out there. Now you're taking basically that information and a lot more and putting it out there for us in an entertaining way, a little more, I think, digestible for us rather than sit down and read something we think may not hold our attention. You have our attention, and you're getting the point across in the Sasha books. What are you working on now? Another book? Another novel?
Well, I'm not really at that point yet. I'm waiting on a group called Reader's Magnet that is presenting the book in Seoul, South Korea, Hong Kong, Chicago, and Frankfurt. And I'm waiting to see what kind of results I get from that. If a mainstream publisher, for instance, wants to take it on, they may request a third or fourth sequel.
Yes.
Which there are some ideas floating around, but they're not firmed up yet. It's just, and I don't want to not include Sasha because she is a powerful figure in both books. But in all my stories, there's a love story. You know, people love love stories.
Yes.
There's intrigue, there's action, there is, and the story, I think, is a good story on both of the books. But at this time, I mean, I just finished Little Sasha here in January, and it just got published in April. Oh, I'm sorry, what year is it now? Yeah, is it this year? Yeah, it was this year.
2024.
Yeah, 2024. It was just published in April.
Go so quickly, it's hard to keep track of that. We've just passed, as we're recording this, the halfway mark of 2024. So before long, we'll be trying to figure out 2025, which makes no sense at all that it's moving that quickly, but it is. But you're done with this. And boy, I see this being a television series or a movie. You've got all of the elements there, including Sasquatch, which is something that captures everybody's attention. Any talk about making a video series out of this?
Well, I don't think a video series. I think a movie is more appropriate. Yes. And my agent said this is very, the type of book that would present well in a movie form.
Yes.
So whether that transpires, I don't know. It depends upon what happens in these four book fairs. I mean, Frankfurt being the largest in the world. And a lot of movie producers and people looking for different stories come to those. So we'll see. We'll just wait and see. I've thought about it. I've even thought, well, who would the main characters be in it? Who would I choose? And et cetera, et cetera. And the thing about books, now J.K. Rowling, she had a company publish her first book. But then the rest of them, she self-published. So she controlled the copyrights and everything. She determined everything, movies, who could be in the movies, the story flow, everything. So I don't want to give up those rights. So it all depends.
Well, a powerful message here, and you want it presented in a proper manner and not somebody to take some liberties and change something, because the rights you talk about are rights that are guaranteed to us by the Constitution. You really don't want to play with those. So you really need to make sure that presentation is accurate. But in the meantime, we'll enjoy the books that you have written. The first book, Deputy, Know Your Rights, A Cop's True Stories. These ball book books by Alfred Anderson. You'll find that available wherever books are sold. Sasha, My Guardian Sasquatch. That book is available. And, of course, the sequel we talked about, Little Sasha, Sasha Sasquatch's Namesake by Alfred Anderson, our guest on the program. Mentioned Reader's Magnet. I thank them, self-publishing and marketing company, for arranging our conversation with Alfred today. Alfred, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Hopefully we can do this again. So much more to talk about. Excellent job with the two books in the Sasha series. Thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Thank you, Rick.
It has been our pleasure. And once again, this book, Little Sasha, Sasha Sasquatch's Namesake by Alfred Anderson. That's the second book, the original Alfred Anderson's Sasha, My Guardian Sasquatch. And the other book that we discussed, Deputy, Know Your Rights, Cops, True Stories. All of these books available at Amazon. Links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And you're listening to This Week in America. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.